I feel like you just have to get comfortable being unapologetically like free spirited almost in order to like be yourself. Because honestly, that's the only way you can be yourself, if you just are yourself. If you say things that you want to say, if you do things that you want to do, if you don't live your life oppressed, free yourself, LOL. Liberate yourself, LOL.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to episode 107 of the Mad Happy Podcast. I'm Mason, and today we are joined by Devin, aka Hal Batty. You probably recognize her from TikTok, from Instagram. Was definitely a new friend for me, but as soon as I sort of discovered her content, I can see why she's been such a viral sensation over the last few months. This was actually the first podcast that she ever did, so it was really, really exciting. We got to have her in the studio with us a few weeks ago, which was awesome. I think the things that stand out to me from this conversation are really just the power of social media and the power of the internet, you know, not just in a virality sense that we talk about all the time, but I think some of the moments that she's had of, you know, having to move out of your parents' house for not really being accepted or understood and being able to raise rent on a GoFundMe to have a place to live. Really just an amazing journey, you know, I think really about identity, who we are, why some people choose not to accept who we are, and sort of going out into the world and finding people who embrace us and who accept us and who love us unconditionally. And, you know, even though on paper, you know, you could argue my life and Devin's life are super different, you know, I think there's this universal need for us to have a tribe and have a community and have people who are there for us no matter what. You know, we talk about support system all the time on this show, and I think that's something that really came through with Devin, and just cool to see, you know, sort of a budding career and navigating it and figuring it out and signing with an agency and getting opportunities and really navigating how do I want to build a brand and build a business and build an image and all these different things. Definitely one of the funnier episodes we've had in the last 100+. So definitely think you guys are in for some good laughs. But yeah, it was really, really great to meet Devin and get to know her a little bit. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism. Enjoy the show with Devin, aka Hal Batty.
I'd love to learn more about you and like sort of just your background, what like your childhood was like growing up and stuff. You know, I think that I see such like a, you know, a funny, free-spirited, like spontaneous person in front of me, and like would love to learn a little bit more about like how you came to be.
Yes. Okay. So, hey, my name is Devin.
Where were you born?
I was born in Lenox Hill Hospital in Manhattan, but I grew up in the Bronx. Mm. So originally from Bronx, New York. And Castle Hill, if you know where that is. I don't know if anyone knows where it is, but Jennifer Lopez grew up in my same neighborhood. So
Jenny from the block. Devin, yeah. From the block.
Devin from the block. Yes. So Devin around every block. So, yeah. So I'm originally from the Bronx, New York.
What was it like growing up there?
It was cute, I guess. I mean, I'm a twin, and I grew up
identical or
fraternal. Thank goodness. I can only imagine having an identical twin. I think that would trip me out. I also think that would trip my followers out. Because we're just so different, you know, so like
one of y'all has to go,
right? Like we're just so different people. So I feel like, I'm happy we're fraternal. Yeah. But, you know, I went to Catholic school growing up. I feel like I was really shy as a kid. I've always been kind of outgoing, but still very shy. I don't know how to describe it. So I was always really shy. And
it's hard. It's hard to believe you. When you say that.
No. Like, I was, like, I don't know. Like, I had, like, a lot of anxiety just, like, interacting with people growing up. Because I always felt, like, a little bit, like, I don't know. I couldn't be myself. Almost, like, you know, you just grew up. You see, like, I don't know. I always knew I was kind of a little bit different from people. Yeah. I knew I was, like, trans, but I didn't know how to say it. Like, I was like, okay, like, she's a femme queen. But, like, I didn't know how to say it. So, yeah. I feel like I just had this kind of, like, understanding of myself and knowing that, like, I couldn't really be myself in a sense, because just the world around me, I feel like it didn't really allow for people like me. Like, I didn't see any transgender people anywhere. So, but I was always friends with the girls growing up. And like, I remember I had Powerpuff Girl dolls, And let's see, I'm trying to think of what else. What else is my childhood like?
No, I feel like a lot of like I actually grew up with like I have a stepbrother who's like 6 months older than me. Like we lived under the same roof like since we were 6 years old. So I kind of grew up with like a twin also. And for me at least, it was like so hard because he was like just better than me at everything. Like he went through puberty faster than me, so he was bigger and stronger and way smarter than me, got better grades, made the A team in basketball. I made the B team, right? And sort of always made me like feel like shit. And like I feel like honestly that's where a lot of like my self-esteem issues and like depression and all those things like sort of like stem from that. And I feel like as a kid it's like you're just trying to like fit in so much, and it's like everything's not really structured for you to like carve out your own lane or like, what do you want to be? All right, do this. It's like, all right, you fit into this group, you fit into this group, you fit into that group. And yeah, growing up with the twin was like super tough.
Right. Yeah. Like I wasn't that close growing up with my twin either. Or were you guys close or?
Yeah, we were like we shared a room until like high school. So we were kind of just like best friends just because it was easy to be like lumped in. But I think like for me, I sort of had like growing resentments because there was so much unexpressed like jealousy and like competition, and like it honestly sort of led me to like not down the best path because like he was good at everything that was like, you know, the picture perfect grades and sports and all this shit. So then like my identity became like drugs and girls and like sort of like that other side because like that was the lane that like I could own that could be like my thing. But yeah, I could talk about myself for a long time.
Slay.
Did you have any other siblings or no?
No, just my brother. So nice. Yeah.
So you guys weren't that close?
We weren't that close. He was kind of like the stereotypical, like, played the sports, was really masculine. Yeah. Like, he would, like, literally his friends and he would, like, kind of poke fun of me at school, like, call me names and stuff. So, like, growing up in school, I had friends that were girls, but, like, it was kind of like, you know, people would make fun of me and say really crazy shit when I was younger, like, saying, like, slurs almost. And my dad, he wasn't really, like, that involved in my life because he's, like, kind of mentally ill, so yeah, that was another thing too. But it's just like I have a lot of different stories that like kind of just led to this traumatic as vibe. But
yeah,
she's here and she's standing. But yeah, so I would say that like, yeah, growing up in school, I feel like I tried to compensate with good grades to like feel good about myself and
like, all right, at least like I'm doing what I'm supposed to. Yeah. I'm showing up. I'm like I'm doing my homework, whatever. Like
I always got good grades and all throughout middle school, elementary school. And then when I was in high school, I certainly got really depressed, but we'll talk about that later, lol.
No, I know you said, like, obviously from a young age, you sort of felt, like, different and there was sort of, like, nothing to do with that. So you sort of just, like, kept it in and that's why you were kind of, like, shy about, like, being yourself in that way. I guess, like, when did you finally start to feel, like, comfortable in your own skin or like, all right, now I don't have to let that part of myself be so shy? It's like, all right, maybe I don't have the support at home or from these kids or from that, but like I'm gonna get it from here, or maybe I don't even like need it, I just need to sort of like do me in that way.
I feel like I started to kind of gain a sense of confidence when I was in high school because
did you like switch schools and it was new kids and shit or no?
Yeah, I went to a high school and I wasn't with my brother, so I didn't have like that family, like you know, I just had like a fresh start almost because I wasn't around people that like, you know, my brother, I was just around new people. It was kind of a woke environment too. Like it was cool to be woke, it was cool to be trendy, like be sweet to everyone. So yeah, I feel like I was around a lot of nice people in high school, but I was still very depressed a little bit because I had like this long commute. I went to school all the way in Brooklyn and I would come from the Bronx every day. So it was just this very long
commute. Did you like end up at that school?
They gave me a scholarship. It was like some private school and I was like at this point it was like one of the better schools that I got
and
into.
Your brother, like he didn't get the scholarly or he just wanted
no to he got a different scholarly for a school in like Manhattan.
Okay,
so we just applied to different schools because we were always together. So so I feel like that's when I started to feel a little bit more comfortable in my skin or whatever, but I feel like I was still code switching a lot. Like I was this very bubbly person in school because I had the space to be myself, but then like whenever I go home, I would act like a different person. Like I would live, and it's actually interesting too because I would, during parent teacher conferences, my parents would like come to the school or whatever, and my teachers, whenever they would see me in front of my family, they would be like, "Are you okay? Like, are you sick? Like, is everything okay?" And because I would always just act like as if I wouldn't act like myself.
They're like, "What's going on at home?"
Yeah, no, they were like, "What? Like, who is this person?" Like, anytime
it's like when you're like a kidnapped and you're trying to be like,
Yeah.
No, like, it's all good.
Yeah, I was, like, so quiet. But it was just because I feel like I couldn't really express myself. I feel like, aside from labels, masculine, feminine, whatever it is, I just felt like I never could be myself in front of my family because, you know.
Yeah.
It's like.
Yeah, I mean, like, yeah. You didn't have the permission, it seems.
Yeah. So, you know, just, like, you hear, like, hints of homophobia and, like, you know, that you internalize that. And so,
yeah.
And even though they're not outwardly homophobic to other people, they, you know. Like, just the thoughts of, like, I don't want my own kids to be, like, LMAO.
Yeah, I, growing up, like, my dad actually came out of the closet to me and my siblings when I was 16.
Wow.
And then now, I have a trans sister of my younger sister, Issa. Okay. So, like, she came out as gay at the time and then had just been figuring out her own, like, identity and sort of gender stuff like that. And I think, you know, in my household, it was always so, like, we were encouraged to express ourselves and really, right, like, be whatever we wanted to be in that way. There was, like, no judgment. And even, like, for my own dad, like, he, you know, he wasn't able to come out until he was almost 60 years old, know? So, like, really, and it fucked him up a lot, obviously, right? Like, growing up, my childhood before I was 16, when, like, he was still closeted, it's, like, there were weird behaviors or, like, things wouldn't make sense. And,
right,
like, you know, I feel like when he finally was able to come out in that way, it, like, it was such a weight off my shoulders, at least, of, like, oh, my God, like, it wasn't all my fault. Like, all these behaviors weren't because of me or, like, anything like that. So I can definitely sort of just empathize with what you're saying through seeing my own dad sort of, like, experience. And, like, one of the biggest reasons why it took him so long is because he didn't have that permission, like, from his family, or, like, really feeling like it was okay, or, like, you know, even, like, stories that I would hear of, like, oh, like, don't do this to our family, or, like, you know, it, like, kind of makes it this big thing, like, about the community and stuff. And I think it's, like, so amazing that, like, you've been able to sort of, like, step out and do that at, like, such a younger age. Obviously, it's a different time, but, like, I can imagine that was really, really hard with, like, your family growing up sort of, like, not having that permission to be who you are with, like, the people who are supposed to be keeping us, like, safe, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I would just say, like, I kind of, like, never really, I guess, felt safe around my family. So it was just a lot of, like, reflection and journaling. And I feel like that's where I feel like my TikTok and my social media is kind of a little bit spiritual. Like, it's corny AF and, like, it's poems and it's cutesy, but it's a lot of, like, affirmations and loving and, like, making myself feel safe again and, like, healing my inner self.
Yeah.
So
where do you feel like you first got that support? Like if it wasn't from your family, or, like, how did you learn these tools, these affirmations, journaling, like, these practices, like where was there a moment where you finally was just like, fuck it, like, I'm gonna step into this? Or, like, did you get support from someone who sort of guided you? Or, like, how did it really start?
I would just say that it really started when I was, like, in, like, 18-19 in college. I started, like, expressing myself more, wearing stuff that I liked, and, you know, going to school dressed up. Maybe one day I'll put, like, a little ponytail on, like, I grew up my hair, and my professor would be like, you look so pretty today, or, like, my like, just little things like that. I'm like, oh my God, stop. So, like, my professor would be, you look so pretty, or, like, my friends in college would be like, oh my God, you're so pretty.
Yeah.
And so it was just, like, so nice because I never really heard those things growing up. So
it's like assurance.
Yeah, like it was so sweet, you know. So my friend that I'm going to visit in a few days in Bangladesh, she would get me earrings. So it was just, like, a lot of love in my life at that time, because I guess I just felt safe. I was, like, 18. I was like, at this point, I'm going to be myself. I don't know what it was. I was just like, I don't know. I was like, I'm going to be myself. Like, I'm going to be whoever I want to be. I'm going to wear whatever I want to wear. So I feel like when I started, like, wearing clothes that I liked, and it was then when I started to see people just being nice to me. And I think people were nice to me because they were so happy to see someone like me just being myself and, like, free-spirited, I guess. So, but I think it just came with time and with age, and knowing that if I don't do this now, like, if I don't live my life now and just be whoever I want to be now, I'm going to, like, hate myself and, like, hate my life.
Yeah.
And so I think 18, 19. I think it was also going to college and just thinking, like, who am I and what do I want to do with my life? Who am I and what do I want to be? And so, yeah.
Yeah, I feel like those are such, like, big questions that, you know, every single person on earth can relate to. You know,
yeah.
I think regardless of, like, where we live, what we want to do, what school we're at, blah, blah, blah. It's like everyone has the moment of just like, who am I? Then like, what do I want to do?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I think that's like, it's, there's something so like universal about all of our experiences and growing up, you know, like all gender and whatever aside of just like sort of everyone has that thing. And I think what really came up for me with what, like you just said of like waiting around for, to get permission or for other people to change or for all of these things that are out of our control. And then just finally realizing like, nah, like you got to take the power back. And it's like, I can't wait for anybody. Like that's just doing myself a disservice. Like we can't be on anybody else's timeline of like, even times with me of like in relationships or with friendships would be like, all right, you know, I'll give the person a few months to see if they can change, or I want them to be like this. Like, so I'm trying to like mold them into this. And it's really just like, you know, banging your head against the wall. It gets to a point like where it's just like, all right, I need to put myself first in like a healthy, selfish way and like step into whoever I want to be. And like, obviously that like, you know, made you so much happier.
Yeah. And then I feel like, what's it called with the TikTok and like it going kind of, I guess, popular with the affirmations, I feel like that was just literally the COVID pandemic, like my mental health literally spiraling.
Yeah.
So those affirmations kind of just like helped me get through life at that point. Yeah.
Is that when you first started really like making content? Was it the beginning of COVID?
Not the beginning of COVID, like a few months after it had started. So not like March 2020, kind of August. Yeah. But with how New York City works in housing, like you need a co-signing, you need all these like paperwork, and I didn't have a job at the time, so
tough to get that that co-sign with no employment,
right?
Huh?
With no employment. So I was like, oh, okay, great. So at that point I just like literally left to Croatia. It was so random. I don't know what possessed me, but I chose a
what?
It's really random. Like I don't know what it is. No, I was like, it was either that or like live with seven roommates on Facebook Marketplace. And I was like, I'm going to leave the country and like have a Hannah Montana moment.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. I was like kind of inspired by Lizzie McGuire. Like,
that's fire.
So, yeah, I went to Croatia and then.
So you were basically just like, I can no longer like live with my family. I need to.
So, and then that thing, the apartment was so, the search was so crazy in New York. So I was like, okay, I'm going to leave. Like, I'm going to just like start a new life, lol. I don't know why I chose a random country in the middle of like Europe.
How the hell did you end up there?
I have no idea. Like, no, I know how I know.
You
I know
did that
I,
shit I like blind on the map. Like,
no, I don't know how to drive, and I feel like a lot of America, you need to have a car.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, well, I can't do America, and also America, trans murders all over the place. I was like, absolutely not. So then I was like, okay, where do I go? So I googled countries open to American citizens, and Croatia was one of the few countries open because at the time everything was closed because of COVID.
Yeah.
It's really crazy. But also I have like low-key PTSD from like whenever I take the train, I get like really anxious because I was attacked on the train. So I was like, I just needed to leave New York, period. Like in my heart, I was like, I outgrew this space. Like I need it's a new like start. This,
yeah.
I need to go swimming.
Right
I need
anymore.
A nature retreat. So I chose Croatia because I like always like heard that it was pretty on the internet.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about it, but I was like, okay, she's cute. So I went.
How long did that last?
It was like 6 months. And
quick?
It was a quick moment. I was like gagged. I couldn't do it that much longer.
Yeah.
Because I was actually like, oh my God, I have like no friends here. So then I went back to Brooklyn. I was staying at my professor's house for a little bit because I like was like just like needed a restart almost.
Yeah.
So I came back to New York.
That's really nice that your professor let you live with
them. Right? She was on vacation. So she just let me like house it and like vibe out.
Yeah.
So I was in Brooklyn for a few months. And then I was like, wait, like, I kind of want to have another nature moment. I don't know. I was just so over New York.
Yeah.
So
and
I
was
went,
like, was like the channel like popping at this point or like?
No. I mean, I had like a few viral moments, like not a few, viral, like one viral moment. I'm on the beach and some guy's like, you look like a Indian girl or whatever. Did you see that video? It's like one of my first videos, whatever. And I'm like, okay. And he's like, exotic. And that's blew up, whatever. What am I saying? Okay, so that was like, there was like one video in Croatia that had like actually popped off.
Right.
And I would have here and there moments and like people being like, girl, why aren't you famous yet? Like, I like the vibes and nothing happened yet. I didn't have like a following or anything. And then I went to Montenegro that summer, right next to Croatia. I was like, I don't know where to go. So I'm going to go to a country right next to Croatia. And I had a few viral moments there too. I like was one night eating dinner with a random family that invited me out to dinner, and people are like, "What is going on? This is so random." And then let's see. But I feel like my video started to actually pop off when I went to Turkey, like a few months later. Mm. So after Montenegro, I went to Greece, and then I went to Denmark, then Greece, and then I came back to the States for like my meds and like. Some packages, all about some clothes and meds. I mean, hormones, just little check-ins, just to see the girls at that point.
What? It seems like you're very well traveled.
Yes.
What has like?
Mood.
What has like that sort of, I guess, taught you about yourself or different cultures or perspectives or like what have you sort of gained from like seeing so many different parts of the world? Would you say?
I just feel like, I don't know, it's nice to see different, try new foods and meet new people and that we're all kind of really similar. We just want to be like nice to people and like have a good time and live our lives. So yeah, I would just say that it's been cool to like see new places, look at new architecture, meet new people. Now, it is a little bit lonely sometimes because all my friends work.
Yeah.
Normal jobs. I mean, I work too, TikTok. But
where do most of your friends live? In New York still?
Yeah. So one of my best friends, he's in Philly right now. He just graduated UPenn.
Smarty pants.
My other friend, New York. My other friend's New York. So
nice. Yeah. And then you ended up sort of settling in Turkey. Is that right?
I guess. Like, I always go back and forth there. My friend, my really good friend, lives there. And so I, like, want to live there, but I don't know what to do because I feel like for brand sponsorships and, like, packages, it makes sense to live in America.
Yeah.
But I really can't do New York anymore, so maybe LA.
Wow.
But I'm just like, I don't drive, so.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, I could learn how to drive. But, yeah.
So how long have you been like a professional content creator now?
I would say like a year and a half almost.
Nice.
Yeah.
Are you enjoying it?
I enjoy it. I have a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like me reading like little poems that I write. So little words of affirmation.
Is that like mostly what your content consists of?
Yeah, that's what it is. And like, I just do it in like random pretty backgrounds. So like this past week, I was just like, I took a day trip to Greece and like said a random fact about Greece and a random Greek street. And like the girls were like, oh my God, slay.
And you always have like the selfie stick, right?
Yes.
What was the idea around that?
Well, I don't know. I had one in high school. I thought they were really cool in high school. And, like, everyone was just kind of making fun of me almost. They were like, this is so corny. But high school, everyone had selfie sticks, low-key. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but when I was in high school, I think 2016, a lot of people had selfie sticks.
I didn't have one.
Oh. So I had one in high school, slay, and then I don't know, I was just like, let me bring this back. Like, I think it's really iconic and sickening. So
people love the stick though, right?
Yeah. I feel like the stick, like, allows me to like,
it's like part of your like bit now.
Yeah, I feel like the stick allows me to like bring people with me to places, because I like also the fact of like not being indoors almost. Like, I like bringing people with me wherever I am.
Yeah.
And I could ask random people to like film me, or like I could set my phone up on a tripod, but I think the stick is just something that makes it a little bit more interactive. And
it is iconic. You're right. Like,
you know?
Yeah.
I always have it with me.
Now that like you've actually like made a career off this and like have like a platform that you're building, how have you thought about like what you want to sort of stand for? Like, obviously it seems like trans representation is something that's extremely important to you. Like, how have you thought about actually like building your brand now that it's bigger than just like maybe a funny video, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, my friend actually had the idea of like me starting this with the idea of me speaking about trans representation. Like, I always knew that I wanted to see more trans representation, and my friend was like, you can do this social media thing as a way to like
be
be that girl and like say, hey, I exist, slay. And so I feel like now that I have a platform, I definitely want to comment more, or, you know, continue commenting on how I think the fashion industry can be more inclusive and, you know, show different types of trans people, not just like the ones that have their surgeries.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
What, like,
I just did like a little campaign moment with Loewe. And I'm hoping to do more campaign moments, inshallah, lol.
I guess yes. like outside of like people who've had like their surgeries, like what for me, I don't really know. Like what exactly are you sort of alluding to?
Like, right.
When you
I mean, say, like, I just feel like the girls that we see like in fashion magazines or like in fashion editorials, like for the most part, they're really giving like cis passing or like, you know what I mean? Like, yes, there is more trans representation now, but I feel like the girls that we're really seeing on runway still are very like pretty according to like cis beauty standards. You know, they don't have like their 5 o'clock shadow showing through. And it's like, I don't want to like have to get laser in order to just exist and like be cute. So, and I know I don't need that. So I just want to see more of that, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like social media has done a great job of like, you know, having LGBT people, different kinds of people. But I just feel like I want like the fashion industry in particular to change it, because I always travel too. And that's another thing too. I travel all the time and I go to airports all over the world and I'm like, I need to all check in. Like, I don't see people that look like me on magazines, or not magazines, in magazines too, but also just like
the posters
everywhere. I go to so many countries. I'm like, where is the doll? I need to see my dolls. Like, I don't see people like me. So I just think it's interesting, you know, because I feel like some would argue that there has been a lot of progress, but I don't think there has been as much progress as there could be, because I literally go to so many countries and I don't see one transgender woman on things.
Yeah, I think it's hard with any real like cause or mission, even like what we've tried to do over like mental health the last 6 years. I think there's always like two sides of the coin in terms of like good progress, but also like not enough.
Right.
I guess like for you, are you feeling more sort of like encouraged by everything that you're seeing, or more like discouraged that like you still think it's like, you know, we've got a lot more to go, and like it is sort of a tall mountain to climb in that way?
I think it's a tall mountain to climb. I think you know, there has been some great improvements, lol, but
for sure
it's not enough. And transgender people are still being murdered all over the world, and transgender people still don't have access to jobs, and like are still poor, still doing sex work, or the list goes on and on, you know? What I mean? So I'm like, it's actually criminal at this point.
Like, what is it that you think like makes it so hard for people to understand, or like why that mountain is like so tall?
I mean, I just think that as a culture and a society, we live for white supremacy, and we live for, you know, the certain girls who are on every cover.
Just like, if you don't look like us,
if you don't look like us, then like it's not gonna sell. Yeah. Right. And I mean, people act like, you know, beauty and fashion is really inclusive, but at the end of the day, you look at runways and we really only see one kind of body type predominantly, you know? So, and what is that? White supremacy.
Yeah.
Boots.
How did like, where did your passion for sort of like fashion, arts and culture like originate from?
I mean, I was just growing up, I always felt like I was very feminine. I felt like I could never express that in real life. So I would always watch fashion shows on YouTube. Like when I was young, and especially when I was in high school, I would just stay up all night, like, watching random fashion shows.
Yeah.
So I feel like I've always just loved it. I always loved art, and I always loved this idea of, like, creating something beautiful. And I feel like fashion itself, whether it be a fashion show or a shoot, you create a world, right? So I've always just loved it. I've always been inspired and interested in that. I don't know where that comes from, but it's just lace.
Yeah. Well, I feel like, you know, fashion is one of the most accessible ways that we have to express ourselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's like even how we think about the products that we make, of like, you know, if we can create products that make you feel optimistic or positive or like more joy in that way, then like that is associated with a feeling of like self-expression that like when you put it on, you actually feel a certain type of way. And I feel like, I mean, obviously I can't speak at all to queer or trans people in any way, but like, you know, the appearance is like such a way of like expression that maybe might be a little bit easier than having to talk about it.
Yes. Right. Play.
Has it been dope to like start to work with different like fashion brands and like be able to like explore your interest in that way?
I mean, it's cute. I like wearing cute clothes and, you know, getting free clothes, lol, slay. So yeah, it's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know you said like 2+ like years ago or whatever, you called it spiraling. How's like sort of your mental health now, or like have you sort of found a new like routine or like mental health care for you that sort of like keeps you sort of grounded and like feeling all right?
I mean, I just like talk to my friends all the time, like on the phone, like
yeah,
literally FaceTime all day with my girls. And
support system is everything.
My support system, you know, so my besties, I always have them. And yeah, I just try to like, but that's another thing too with social media. Like I've also kind of been a little bit jaded almost because it's like you have so many people who like live for you, but like don't actually like know you.
Yeah, it's so like everyone loves me, but like I don't know any of you guys, right? And you're all strangers.
And yeah, it's like really trippy and like a fine line. And like, so I mean, I would just say like hanging out with people that I love whenever I can, right? Because all my friends, we have different schedules, you know, life is just all over the place. But
yeah,
I just try to have like, you know, my core group of like four people that I talk to all the time, and like we just check in with each other. And I just try to focus on myself and like my dreams and my goals and being creative. And
yeah,
I just want to keep on doing that, whatever that is.
What are some of your dreams and goals?
LOL. Find out later. No, I don't want to jinx anything. No, blank. You know, we'll see. I kind of like, we'll see. I kind of want to do more fashion stuff, like more photo shoots.
Yeah.
I definitely want to partner with more brands. I want to have more shoots that are like actually really sickening.
More packages,
more purses. More, right.
You want to sort of do like a compilation of like all your affirmations and
yeah
stuff?
I want to make a compilation of affirmations.
That's a mouthful to say.
And yeah, I want to make a compilation of affirmations. I want to maybe dabble into music, LOL, because I'm very wordy and I feel like I do have a way with my words.
Yeah,
so I mean, and I am a cornball, so just to take my affirmations and transform it into something a little bit more musical, I think would be fun to just try.
Do you write like every day?
I write all the time. Like I have my notes app, anything, you know, I just write all the time. Write any
just,
idea.
Just bars nonstop.
Bars. Yeah.
That's sick.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like that's got to be somewhat like therapeutic for you in a way.
Yeah. And I feel like it's just funny too, because I get to look back on like these weird ass ideas that I have.
Yeah. Is there any sort of like fine line for you of like something that you like won't share, like that's too personal, it's sort of just for me and my sort of mental health, and like this is for the people? Or like have you had to really like think about boundaries at all with like your audience or your dolls rather?
LOL. Dolls.
Gotta get it right, you know?
Right. I mean, I feel like I'm pretty much an open book. Like they know pretty much everything about me, but then they don't at the same time. I don't know. Like, so I don't know. I feel like I'm pretty much open though.
Yeah. No, I know how you mentioned like obviously that you were attacked on the train and we see like, you know, in the news what seems like almost every day, like different trans people getting sort of like attacked and killed. Like have you thought about your own sort of safety, or like what has that process like sort of been like for you in that way?
I mean, I have no control over what other people do, so
yeah, that's
I just
true.
Like hope for the best every time I step foot outside. But I feel like that's also why when I'm by myself, I try to, you know, just be aware of my surroundings. But during that time, though, when I was attacked, I feel like it was important to have my support system. I mean, I spoke to my doctor a lot. Like, that was my sister at that point in my life, LOL. And so it took me, like, a few months to, like, actually be able to, like, comfortably go outside. But I would just say, like, I have a lot of people who, like, love you and support you. So my friends.
Yeah.
They're always there. And also, like, it took me, like, a while to just, like, go outside alone and feel comfortable. And I wouldn't go out, like, at night. But now I go out at night.
How long ago was that incident?
So I'm 24 now, and that was when I was 19.
Wow.
So how many years is that? 3, 4, 5, 5, 5, 5. Wow. 5 years. Yeah.
Do you, like, I imagine mostly everyone in your sort of community has like similar like experiences, like that's not like an isolated thing for you?
I don't know. Like, I feel like
yes and no.
Like I feel like a lot of my friends, they don't have as crazy experiences like actually being physically hit. Like people get like, you know, the slurs and stuff and like stupidity comments.
Yeah.
But I feel like I feel like I'm the only one that I know in real life that of my friends that has been assaulted.
Yeah.
Like physically.
I know you've mentioned sort of like your support system and your core group of like 3 or 4 friends. I'm curious like how these people came into your life. Like I know you mentioned that you didn't really sort of come out of your shell until high school. Is that where you met everyone, or like how's it been sort of like navigating your own support system, because I do feel like that really is what's the most important for really anyone in general, to have those people that they feel like they could trust, that don't judge them, that hold them accountable, that they can go to. How have you like navigated like your circle?
So my best friend, we met in like a college or a high school theater program. I just graduated high school and he was like in his senior year of high school or junior year.
Yeah.
And we met in a theater program and we just instantly clicked and we've been best friends ever since. We speak like every day. And that's one of my best friends. His name is Bilal. My other friends, one of my actual really good friends is my brother's ex-girlfriend. Oh, well, we kind of like bonded over just like our experiences, you know, about life and stuff, and with my brother, LOL. And we've just been really good friends. My other friend, Yasin, we met in like a high school program, like a arts, math, whatever summer program. And now she works at Google doing like tech stuff. I don't know. Whatever people do at Google. But yeah, and we just talk all the time. And my other really good friend, we met in college. So. What about you? Who are your friends and how are they, you know?
Like school, like a couple best friends, like from like freshman year of high school. Most of my closest friends are like from a summer camp that I grew up going to like since I was like 7 years old. So like that's who like my roommate is and stuff like that. But I feel like, you know, I got sober like 5 years ago. And I think like when I came back from treatment and got sober, it was really like a taking inventory of like, you know, people in my life, how am I spending my time, being way more intentional with that, and like really having to like put myself first. Like I said earlier, you know, I think there's something really mature about knowing how to be selfish mm-hmm. in the right ways, and like, you know, anyone who sort of wasn't supporting me in like this new lifestyle that I wanted to leave, like really having to cut those people out of my life, not in like a malicious way at all, but in like I love you and this is where I'm going, and you can sort of either come with me, but the friendship isn't worth, you know, hindering my growth and like the journey that I have to go on. And I feel like as I continue to get older, it's like the circle does sort of become smaller and smaller. And I think it's really for the best, you know,
right.
I think it's like such a natural part of life that people grow and people change and they want to do different things and have different priorities in life. And I feel like a lot of times with people and with friendships, it's like, we feel obligated to hold on, or like, you know, because well then you're gonna do like who's at fault here, or like you're a bitch or I'm a bitch, or like, you know, who messed up or whatever, and like people just want to sort of like keep the peace, when in reality like maybe both people are in different places and have different like priorities and things that they want to do, you know. And I think mm-hmm. that all just really comes down to like being vulnerable and expressing ourselves. And that's why I feel like it's like I only try and surround myself with people who I really truly feel like I can be radically honest with, that I can call them out on their shit, they can call me out on my shit, like, you know, people who you don't really have to hold anything back.
Slay. I agree. I'm like, I like a small circle and people who I can be honest with.
Yeah,
and that's it.
As we wrap up, you know, obviously you're still sort of like young and like figuring shit out, but like when you look back at like that kid in middle school or who was really like just starting high school that, you know, was sort of on the shyer side, that wasn't ready to sort of like be who you are now, like what do you wish you knew back then, or like what advice would you give to your younger self, or like other people who might be struggling with those questions that you asked of who am I, what do I want to do, like things like that?
I would just say that, like, advice for my younger self, I would just say, like, everything happens when it needs to and everything will fall into place, you know? Just, like, be honest with yourself, love yourself, take out the time to get to know yourself and hang out with people who love you and everything will be fine.
Yeah.
Literally, everything will be fine.
How do you feel like you were able to get to know yourself?
I don't know, just taking out the time to, like, reflect a lot, and I spent a lot of time alone, and I feel like that's how I really got to know myself, like just going on walks with myself, writing a lot, reading a lot, and I don't know, just being whoever I want to be, saying whatever I want to say. I feel like that's something that I feel like you just have to get comfortable being unapologetically like free spirited almost in order to like be yourself. Cause honestly, that's the only way you can be yourself. If you just are yourself, if you say things that you want to say, if you do things that you want to do, if you don't live your life repressed, free yourself, LOL, liberate yourself, LOL.
Yeah.
Whatever that means.
Yeah, I feel like the I love that you mentioned spending time by yourself, because I think that's such like an underrated quality that like in this day and age, it's like sort of really hard to practice, because we can at our fingertips be online or talking to a million people or be looking at other people's stuff on IG and whatnot. And it's like all of those things, I feel like, really influence us to not be ourselves.
Right.
Or to sort of like, you know, oh, I want to be like this, or, oh, look what she's wearing, I want to wear that. Or like, oh, this guy's fucking jacked. Like what workouts is he doing? Like, I want to be like that. And it's like sort of just instantly brings up comparison and judgment. And like only in that time really with ourselves, like you said, whether we're reading a book or in nature or just journaling our thoughts, it's like that's where there's really nothing out there sort of corrupting our view and really enabling us to like tap in and be like, what do I like? What do I want to do?
Who am I? What is going on today? What do I want to do? How am I feeling? Like, what do I really like? What is the music that I like to listen to? What are the clothes that I like to listen to? Where, you know, I feel like social media has influenced, that's why I kind of don't live for influencers at all, even though I am an influencer, but I'm not an influencer.
Yeah.
I'm an artist. There's a difference. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't promote products all day. I mean, I do on occasion.
Yeah.
But I actually express myself.
Price is right, I'll
bring it. Right. If the price is right, if you come correct, if you open your purse, of course. And if it aligns with my heart. Now.
Yeah.
But I just feel like influencing in general, social media in general, it just pushes this idea of like, be what everyone else wants you to be, or wear whatever. That's like, that's so like corny. So, yeah.
And lastly, Devin, what makes you mad happy?
What makes me mad happy is my friends. My friends and myself, being myself. And beautiful things that inspire me. Clothes, art, fashion, music. Those are the things that make me the happiest.
Amazing. Period. Well,
thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on and doing your first podcast ever.
Oh my goodness.
We definitely love your content and everything that you do. And I think, you know, there's an inherent deep tie to sort of mental health and gender and the trans community, especially with everything that's going on. And I think we're really, really honored to have you on and really appreciate all the work that you do for mental health at large. So,
Slay. Thank you, Devin, so much. Thanks for having me. And thank you, Mad Happy, for just, you know, making everyone mad happy.
Peace out.
Thank you guys so much for listening to episode 107 with Hal Batty. It really means the world to us, as always, that you guys keep supporting the show, keep coming back, and keep participating in these mental health conversations. Hope everyone is doing well. You know, we're rolling right into summer. We opened up a shop in the Hamptons last week, which was amazing. So if you're in the tri-state area, definitely encourage you to go check that out in East Hampton. That'll be running 3 months, June, July, and August. And yeah, can't believe we're basically at the halfway point of the year. A lot of really exciting stuff coming up for us this summer, more seasonal shops, amazing collaborations and collections that are on the horizon. So we're super excited to share those with you all. And yeah, hope everyone is excited for summer and has some great stuff planned. And yeah, we'll see you guys next week. Thanks as always. Peace. The Mad Happy Podcast is brought to you by Optimism.